I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. It's officially been 10 days without football, the NFL. Getting the shakes a little bit. Need some crack.
I found myself a little like, just. Just bang.
The UFC was in Anaheim this weekend, so it was the very, very rare home game for me. I didn't have to travel this weekend. And so I got to sleep in my own bed Saturday night, woke up on Sunday. I'm like, yes, a full Sunday to myself. There's no football. We went to the farmer's market, spent time with the daughter, got stuff done around the house. Like, I finally got to be home, and this is what I'm doing. Nothing.
Yeah, man, you're sitting around looking like that Pablo Escobar meme, just on that swing, just going to sit there, right? Looking off into nothing.
Just boiler out, hunched over. Wah, wah, wah.
I had an exciting weekend, though. I was in the lovely Oakland.
Oh, beautiful.
I went back up to the old school town, Oakland.
Heard great things about their baseball team.
Huh? No, I was back in Oakland. A fighter of mine had a fight at the Scottish Rite Center, there, Performing Arts Center. It's a nice venue. But they pulled a couple of tactics on us, man.
Yeah? Who's they?
So all the people in our corner, in the blue corner, were the out-of-towners. Because we're like looking around, we've seen people. Oh, yeah, Oregon, okay, cool. And Reno, Sacramento, Vegas. Us, you know,
you were brought in to get sacrificed to the townies.
Yeah. And when I tell you, it was a meat locker in that locker room, in that dressing room. It was so damn cold. And they brought one little like 3-foot heater. That's it. And like the fighters are like trying to like warm up and they can't get a sweat. It's so freaking cold. And then after the
trench
fight,
warfare,
it was bad, dude. And then after the fight, we go to the doctor station with the fighter, right? And the doctor station is in the red locker room. We go in there. I'm like, there's couches everywhere. It's nice and warm.
They got like a lobster buffet set up. There's like a 4-piece orchestra and tuxedos playing soothing music.
The freaking doctors wanted to leave this locker room. I'm like, dang, man.
It's like when Ace Ventura went to that dude's party.
Yeah. I honestly haven't had that much pain because I was scooping the ice to put in the bag. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a scoop or anything. I'm like, it was that cold in there where like my hand was like, I'm like, it's cold. It was cold in there, man. It was weird.
Yeah. Shit like that builds character.
Yeah. You know, right?
That's what builds character for a fighter.
Just because you are a character doesn't mean you have character.
You are a character. What movie is that from? Let us know in the comments section. Oh, I want to say who said it too.
Speaking of fights, man. Yeah. So speaking of fights, I had to break up a legitimate cat fight. Like they
Between
were playing
two chicks at a 7-Eleven.
No. Between my two cats.
I know. I was being.
This starts. Okay. This starts. You're a funny guy. So this starts Monday night. Monday night, I'm trying to sleep and I'm like hearing all this like motion on my bed. I look over and I have Apollo, the black cat, biting the neck of my other cat, Razor, and like dominating him, like just like, and I'm like, dude, cut that shit out, man. Let him go to sleep. That happened like 4 times. Okay. Last night, Apollo's taking a shit, and Razor comes up and just goes loud, whack, 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 and smacks him hard.
I love Razor's style. It's like wait until he's vulnerable.
Yeah. So I'm like, uh-oh, because then I see Apollo's face, and I'm like, okay, the second the last shit drops out of his ass, it's on. Mm-hmm. And he's just sitting there, and his back's pulsating. Boom. Gone. He didn't even cover his shit.
You tell Apollo's kind of a gentleman. He's like, look, I'm going to finish this dump. I'm not going to have feces swinging and flinging in the Soto household.
No, thank God. So he finishes his dump, and they just chase after, and they're slamming against the wall like hard. And I'm like, dude, what the hell? My God, they're playing hard or whatever. And then I hear like, ah, like a weird sound, like Apollo's biting Razor's neck, and then Razor's using his back legs to like claw at Apollo's eyes. I'm like, wait a second. This smells like a fucking like $3,000 vet bill right now. So I just pull them apart, and I pull them apart. And I'm like, what's the matter with you guys? And I have them like this, and they're swatting at each other from like, I'm like, oh shit.
It was like a bouncer at Crows.
Yeah, it was a legit fight, dude. A legit fight.
Yeah, I don't believe you. I believe what happened was they were fighting each other and immediately whipped out dollar bills to start betting on it like it was a 7-year-old Muay Thai fight. You're like, wait.
Yeah, no, I'm waiting for the music.
Where's
the music?
To gamble.
The music faster. We're going to fight harder.
That's how we can get some money to build our studio into a Taj Mahal. Just start holding cat fights in your house. Charge 10 bucks, 10 bucks yeah. A top. Well, we were speaking about building character. Did you watch the entire Antonio Pierce on Max Crosby's The Rush podcast this week?
I did.
It is so good. He is. He gives me like, I feel like once Antonio Pierce is done coaching, like who knows if he's a good coach or not? Like, God damn it, I hope he's amazing. But like, time will tell, right? If he fails as a head coach, he's gonna be like the next Pat McAfee. Like, he has personality oozing out of his pores, energy for days. Like, he made Max Crosby look lazy with his energy. Like,
dude. He's
funny, quick-witted. He's so entertaining. I would buy a front row seat just to watch 90 minutes of Antonio Pierce be Antonio Pierce. He's so entertaining.
He said a couple things that Max gave him that look like, I can't believe you said that on air. And just unapologetically, just straightforward, he makes me like proud and puff my chest up to be a Raider fan.
Yeah,
you know, because look, let's just be honest. A lot of times, being a Raider fan is like, yeah, I'm a Raider fan. Okay, go ahead. Let's hear it. Yeah. But no, listening to AP talk, it's like hell yeah, man! It gets you pumped up.
He's so fun. But there's also substance behind it, right? He's not like all sizzle, no steak. Like there's clearly some steak behind it. And that's the beautiful thing is like Pat McAfee is like tongue in cheek fun because he was a punter. He was an amazing punter and he's still an NFL athlete. Like make no mistake. Pat McAfee, what, like 2 years ago, he did that when he did WWE. He did like literally a backflip off of a turnbuckle, landed perfectly on his feet. Like he's a world class athlete.
He like, looks better than a lot of the wrestlers.
Dude, we all like we think we're athletes. Like, take like your boy from high school, Pat McAfee, a punter, like the bitch athlete of the NFL. Several years retired.
Is 30 times the athlete. 230 pounds, like no big deal.
Floating through the air like a gazelle, right? Like insane, like he's an insane athlete, right? But because he's a punter and he's a jokester, like it's all tongue-in-cheek with him, right? Whereas Antonio Pierce, like, he was a Pro Bowl, Super Bowl-winning linebacker.
Captain of the freaking defense.
Like he was, yeah. Like, and he said in the podcast, he's like, look, I wasn't great, I was good. Like, I was good, not great. It's like, okay, that's fair. Like, you know, he was, I would say very good, but, you know, definitely not great, but very good. So he doesn't have to pretend to be anything. He can just, like, when you pretending to be something you're not is because you're not comfortable with who you are and were. Like, he's a dude from the hood, swagger for days, all the street cred in the world, driving that Impala, charming, witty, and oh yeah, two Super Bowl rings, Pro Bowl, an NFL head coach. Like, you don't have to pretend to be anything. There's no fake it till you make it when you're Antonio Pierce, right? You're not the nerdy white dude working up his ranks to be head coach that, like, you know, sometimes I kind of feel like I don't belong here. Like the best I did was like junior college ball. But even if you are a really good coach, even if you're a great, great coach, you still kind of feel like not a chip on your shoulder, but there's a little inadequacy a little bit, right? You're like, do I really belong here with these world-class athletes? I have to show them that I belong. And if you do it right, you do it with your skill set and your knowledge and your work ethic. If you do it the wrong way, you puff your chest. You pretend you're somebody you're not. Like you're a little fake every now and then. AP has no reason to be fake as a head coach.
No.
The real McCoy is what people want, and that's who he is.
And you have to look at how quickly he took over the entire organization. Like how quickly he got the vote of confidence from the organization, from being just a random old linebacker coach coming in to getting the
recent NFL coach. Like he'd only been in the NFL a couple of years.
Yeah. And so he gets the respect of the players. He gets the respect of the front office. He gets the respect of, you know, everyone who works in the entire building. Everyone has that respect for Antonio Pierce because they see him be consistent every single day. And it's hard to lie to that many people for that long. It's going to come out.
Yeah. He's got the resume, got the attitude, got the ability, right? It's like, it's all right there. I also wonder, total side note, but hopefully like as the years go on, we kind of hear about what happened behind the scenes with the transition from Josh McDaniels to Antonio Pierce. I get a feeling like Antonio Pierce was laying like Game of Thrones level foundations. Like I get this feeling that AP saw the writing on the wall and started to kind of lay a foundation for taking over as head coach in the interim. I feel like...
What was that wedding called? The Red Wedding?
Yeah, he's going to stab some pregnant bitch and take over.
Just freaking slicing throats and shit.
Because you know the story, right? When they did like the players, like wanted to talk to the coaches and the coaches, you know, did their thing. And Josh McDaniels is like, and Antonio Pierce was the guy that spoke. And you're wondering when he brought up, like, hey, when I was with the Giants and beat the Pats, you know.
Beat
the brakes off of this motherfucker, me playing linebacker against his offense, and I took over. Like, oh, and then it gets out that Josh McDaniels was pissed about that. Like, he's wise. Like, he's intuitive, you know. Like, he's got kind of like he's got street knowledge. And that feels very street knowledge move.
I've said it before. This guy is the closest thing to the Raider organization to Al Davis for this Raider organization, because Al Davis had the respect of the players because he was a coach. He was a coach, and he was a championship winning coach.
And
he's from Brooklyn. He's from the streets.
He full on Game of Thrones ownership of the
Raiders. Oh yeah,
when he kicked out the other two owners, like. That should have been the 30 for 30, not Al Davis versus Pete Rozelle. It should have been Al Davis, how he swindled the other two owners of the Raiders to take over. Like, that is we got to make a whole episode on that, because that is a incredible Game of Thrones story. I bet you Antonio Pierce, like, read and was like, I could pull that shit off. I could be a head coach, pull some of those moves.
And that's why I said that Antonio Pierce is the closest thing to Al Davis that we've had, because he's able to connect to all levels of an organization, and he's able to instill confidence and you're not going to catch him slipping. You're not going to catch him saying, oh yeah, because of this and this and this, I know this is going to work. And you're like, wait a second, that's not going to work. Or I don't believe you because that story doesn't check out. Like, he doesn't have to be, like I said, he doesn't have to do that. Everything checks out. And you see, we talked about how terrible our linebacking core was going to be this year.
Yeah.
And they were actually pretty good.
Yeah.
They weren't bad. I would say they were, I mean, about average to slightly above, maybe.
They way overplayed. So
it's not like he's personnel. Not doing a good job. Yeah. Yeah. And so if you take a look at what what AP's been able to do in such a short period of time, and just empowering people with the right direction. Like, if you empower the wrong people, you're going to go down quick, right? But if you empower the right people with the right direction, that's when you get to places, because you're not telling them exactly what to do, but you're telling them exactly what you want. Okay, do what you have to do to give me that. And if you're able to do that, and you have the right people who are, you know, proactive enough to be able to get up and self-start and do that stuff for you. That machine starts rolling quickly.
Yeah. So again, I highly recommend you listen to the whole podcast. Very entertaining. It was really fun at the end when they're asking both Max and AP, who's the biggest nerd on the team? Who's the funniest guy on the team? Who's the one you want to want your daughter to date?
Like that.
Like it was great. It was great.
But the daughter one is the funniest thing ever.
I was shocked with the answer.
The words were not even done being – the question was not even done being asked, and AP's like, Josh Jacobs. And then Max is like, everybody in the DB room. Yeah. Jack Jones, Hobbs, like none of these dudes.
It was great. I highly recommend you watch the whole thing. But as far as actual football, this was the biggest takeaway on the whole thing. So they were starting off this conversation talking about the Kansas City game on Christmas, and Antonio Pierce was talking about how, like, yeah, like we were the only ones on TV, right? Like basketball hadn't started yet. It was Christmas morning, 10 a.m. It was like one of the highest rated game, like non-playoff games in like a couple seasons. Like it was insane. Like it was some crazy number, right? Drew, insane numbers, right?
Plus it's a rivalry game and
Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, you know, blah, 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 right? So it was crazy, right? And so Antonio Pierce says, like, we found the formula. We found the recipe to beat Patrick Mahomes. And we'll get to, like, whether we have or haven't. But the way he positioned it was great. Take a listen.
You got the Jordan rules, and I'm calling now from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules. Mm-hmm. So you remember when Jordan was going through it with the Pistons, all those guys in the 80s before he came, Michael Jordan, Air Jordan, the Pistons used to whoop his ass. Anytime he came to the hole, elbows, filling them, love taps. We touched them. We're in the head, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I'm touching you. Mm-hmm. So I showed those guys Jordan getting his ass whooped consistently. And on the side, I got the screen. I got these two side. And it's kind of like, this is almost a little gory. Like, this, we're getting crazy now, right? It's fucking brawling. And we got these two screens showing of us just getting after it. Raiders versus Chiefs.
So you remember two seasons ago when Rich Bisaccia grabbed several members, like key members of the Raiders organization before we played the Chiefs in week 17, win, go to the playoffs, lose, go home. And he was showing all the key members. Derek Carr told the story, but he showed multiple members. Hey, if you play like this, we're going to the playoffs. We're doing something special. And everyone went nuts, right? This was Antonio Pierce's version of that, right? Mm-hmm. He was, the clip was like 4 minutes long, so I didn't play the whole thing, but he was talking about how they showed, you know, Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz on one screen. And on the other screen, it was everyone like attacking Patrick Mahomes. And then they showed round one of Hagler Hearns. And then they showed
great freaking round.
Round 15 of like Muhammad Ali championship fights. And it was like double monitors. And they were just trying to build that mentality of, look, what the Pistons did to Jordan, rough him up. Just rough him up. Let him know you're there. And that's the beautiful thing about coaching. Like, I can tell you, Soto, like, if I'm a coach and you're my linebacker, like, hey, I need you to make your presence known, you know, rough up the quarterback. You're like, okay, like, I hear your words. It's another thing to be like, here's a giant projector screen of Nate Diaz choking the life out of Conor McGregor. And then right next to that screen is you sacking Patrick Mahomes earlier in the season. It's like, I want you to lay into this guy. I want you to end him. I want him to smell your breath from the other side of the field. Like, that was how Rich Bisaccia kind of loved his players into performing well. Antonio Pierce is doing the same thing, but it's more.
Like, it's empowering. Fiery. He's empowering.
Yeah,
him to get it. Look, he's telling them, this is what I want to do. Go get it done. And it's working
with example, right? With examples, yeah. Like getting you fired up with lessons, the direction, allegory, like,
yeah. Excellent. It's an excellent way to get people sharp, to keep them sharp. Every single play, we got to be sharp. Every single play, we got to look to knock this guy down. Don't be afraid of the flags. Just go out there and make it happen.
And feel big in the moment, right? Like, here's a giant, like, you know, UFC pay-per-view. Here's arguably the greatest round in boxing history. Hagler Hearns.
They put about 12 rounds of damage in one round.
Like, get into, like, feel those giant moments and absorb that moment. Like, be that moment, right? That's the beautiful, like, that's what great coaching is. And that's what we're like, okay, we all know Antonio Pierce inspired the team and touched their hearts, minds, and souls and muscles. But this is the first instance where we saw how. This is a very we all just kind of thought, okay, yeah, like, he's a G, he's got a lot of personality, he's got the rings, he's got the experience, he's young, right? Stud earrings, Impala, like, guys relate to him. It's like, okay, that's why. Well, it's not just that. He's he's taken the steps. It's not just him just being him. Like, he's clearly learned what works as a coach. And doing this like video thing and having Max like tell AP, hey, pull the curtain back a little bit. I want everyone to know this story. It's really refreshing. Again, the results aren't there yet, right? Like, God only knows if he's going to be a good coach or not. But holy fuck, am I excited to find out. I am so excited to see what kind of coach he is moving forward, just based nothing on nothing other than his ability to inspire players. Because I want to run through a brick wall, and I have a broken neck. I'm willing to risk it because Antonio Pierce wants me to do it.
With a broken freaking neck like Kurt Angle. So this is like a mix between like Pavlov and Charles Manson. he's conditioning them right now. He's conditioning them.
I can't wait to hear this analogy.
So he's conditioning them the way Charles Manson does.
Yeah.
Where he's giving them enough leash to make it seem like it's their idea, but it's him all the time able to push that button whenever he wants to.
Yeah.
Right? And he's tapping into that I don't have any money in college. I don't have any money in high school. I'm playing like a beast every single play because I want to get to where I am now. So he's tapping into that previous self that was just an unleashed animal. Mm. So it's kind of like that dual thing working right now. And it's really smart. It's really cool to see because the guys may even know that what he's doing and they don't care because the results are there. Right. So,
it's a dream within a dream within a dream.
Yeah. I am really encouraged to see how this carries over because it doesn't seem like this is something that can wear off because he's tapping into that competitiveness. He's tapping into that violence that's inside. He's tapping into that. And he's like, all right, now it's time to touch it. Now it's time to let it go. And if he can find that button for the whole team to be able to push that button, man, that's something that you need. You can just turn it on.
I mean, he clearly has a lot of things to learn. He's gonna be very dependent on coordinators. A lot of things are gonna have to go right for him to really take this team where we want him to. But a foundation, like a launching point that we can all get behind and be excited about is there. Like, it's, I can't tell you what the future is, but I'm optimistic for it. And
we're not gonna get out physical. We're not gonna get out hustled.
Yeah, out motivated.
No.
And this is the other part too. He's kind of full of shit about that particular moment on beating Patrick Mahomes. Like, oh, we got the formula. Like, no, we don't. Like, is part of the formula to not complete a pass for three quarters? Like, is part of the formula to bank on getting two defensive touchdowns in 7 seconds? No. It's not at all the formula. Like, he's full of shit. But that doesn't matter. He's like, it's like a politician, right? Like, if I'm a Democratic presidential nominee, I'm just trying to rally my base. I don't care what diehard Republicans aren't going to vote for me think. I'm just trying to rally my people behind me and vice versa, right? He doesn't have to, like, coaches don't have to speak the truth. They don't have to be like, I can poke holes all day long in coaches' motivational speeches. But who gives a fuck? I'm just trying to get the best of the 53 people that are going on the field.
That's, yeah, as long as those guys believe it, that's all
that matters. Like, that's all that matters. Like, we figured out the formula to beat Patrick Mahomes. It's like, well, a lot of things went our way. Like, offense wasn't that great. Like, two defensive touchdowns in 7 seconds. Like, it was Christmas. It was kind of different. It's like, okay, like, I can cut holes in your, like, argument. But who cares? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Like, he's not talking to convince Chiefs fans. He's not talking to be like, it's not like, Broncos defensive assistants are like, oh, Antonio Pierce says he found the formula. We better figure it out. Like, copy it. No, he's wrong. He's full of shit. Like, okay. All right. Tell him he's wrong. Who cares? The only people that matter are the 53 people on the roster. And they are jacked about it because we went into Kansas City on Christmas and kicked their dicks in. And we're going to carry that momentum and that feeling and that emotion onto the next one. That's way more important than putting together a PowerPoint presentation that all like NFL like tape study guys are like, yeah, that's correct. He actually did. No, that's not his job. His job isn't to like give tape study guys work. His job is to make the 53 guys believe in what just happened and think they can do it every single time we go to Arrowhead. That's all that matters.
Yeah. And what did coaches always say? If you're going to make a mistake, make it full speed.
100%.
Make it 100%. If you're going to make a mistake, make it a big one. Make it a big mistake of going 100%.
If you're going to knock up that chick, get triplets. I always say.
Knock up her sister, too.
Again, watch the whole interview.
Watch it. It's a good one.
Worth your time. It's definitely worth, 49 of your minutes. So the Justin Fields talk added a extra layer. According to, who wrote this? Tony Pelini. Very respected writer in the NFL circles.
Draft guy, Jets guy, I think.
Yeah. Talking about Justin Fields, he wrote on SportsKita, there's another team that I'm told has genuine interest in acquiring Justin Fields and will be exploring trading for him. The Las Vegas Raiders. Sources tell me Tom Telesco, named as the team's general manager on January 23rd, wants a big name at the quarterback position. The fact that the organization signed Bears offensive coordinator Luke Getsy will make the transition easier for Fields. We'll come back to that in a minute. Throwing to all-pro receiver Devonta Adams will certainly be appealing to Fields, and having Jacoby Myers only makes the Raiders even more appealing. The Raiders have 9 draft picks at their disposal as ammunition for trade, et cetera, et cetera. So there's more interest potentially in Fields. And I guess before we get into the nitty gritty, if you're Tom Telesco with our quarterback room, you're not doing your due diligence if you're not looking at everybody, Justin Fields included, right? With our quarterback room, which is basically just Farva. Like it's like Jimmy Garoppolo's going to, we're going to get to Jimmy Garoppolo in a minute. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be cut. I've already forgot his name. Hoyer. Hoyer's gone, right? It's just Aiden O'Connell, right? So you have to pick up multiple quarterbacks, and you're probably going to want a diverse amount of quarterbacks, right? You probably want a veteran in the room. You probably want a developmental guy. If you're Tom Telesco, you're not doing your job if the opportunity of Justin Fields is potentially out there and at least kicking the tires, right? But the there's a couple moving parts here that are interesting, Soto. Which one do you want to hit first?
Let's hit the fit.
Okay. So you've heard me say multiple times, I feel like the best route is Farva's on the team. Farva's in the quarterback room, no matter what. We love Farva. He stays. And then I think we need a veteran and then a developmental player. Now, do we spend do we get like a really good, like the best possible veteran? Like probably Kirk Cousins, the best like available veteran out there right now. Do we spend a lot of money on him and maybe go not quite as hard at rookie or go the other way, right? Like trade a lot real high in the draft and get an awesome rookie and then get, just a cheap $3 million, $4 million a year veteran just so there's a veteran in the room, right? That kind of balance, something like that, right? Whatever that may be. Justin Fields is kind of a weird one in the middle because he's got 3 years in the NFL, so he's a veteran, but he's not, like a Cousins, I've got 10 years under my belt. Let me show you some tricks, young whippersnapper.
Kirk Cousins was having he was putting up MVP numbers before he got hurt. Like, he was putting up some big numbers last year.
He's by far the best available free agent quarterback on the market. Like, I don't think there's a close second. Like, who's number two?
Baker, maybe.
Baker, right? Baker had a good season. Props to Baker. But Justin Fields exists in kind of that weird middle ground, right? Because he's still on the rookie contract, so he's not going to be expensive. So essentially, you're going to have to pick up his fifth-year option if you get him, right? Because he's coming up on his fourth year, and you have to decide on the fifth year now. So if you get him, if you trade for him, you're definitely picking up his fifth year. Right, so you're basically paying two years for like $27-ish million. Like that's the price for Baker or for Justin Fields.
Justin Fields, yeah.
Whatever the trade is, and people are saying like a second ish, maybe plus second plus something, and then 2 years, $27 million-ish. Right, and for a starting quarterback, that's a great deal. if he plays as well, if he's going to be your starter, right? If he plays well enough to be your starter. So he's kind of in that weird middle ground, right? He's not this seasoned, grizzled veteran that you want just for knowledge and to take everyone under their wing, but he's not a brand new guy on a rookie deal that's going to be pennies and you have 4 seasons to figure it out. He's in a weird kind of gray area type of thing, which can be good or bad depending on where you are as a franchise.
Well, unfortunately for him, he's both. He is a veteran and a developmental guy. Yeah, so if you bring in him as your veteran, you're going to have 3 developmental quarterbacks, right? Mm-hmm. Anything that's achieved, anything that's set out, like not like you just, I'm going to go to the park every day and run around, and then you decide to like run a marathon. Like, no, if you set out to do something, there's an expectation. You have an expectation of what you want to have happen, the best case scenario, right? Mm-hmm. We have to have the same expectation as fans. We have to know that we need an upgrade at the quarterback position. We need an upgrade, right? I don't know that Justin Fields, his play, I'm not saying his athleticism, his highlight, but he's a sub 60% completion percentage rate. Let's just put it out there for what it is. He didn't show he was able to run Getsy's offense, okay? He doesn't have slobs over there. He's got a kick-ass tight end. He's got a really good receiver and a couple of okay receivers. He had a nice running game. So it's not like he had bums, okay? He didn't show that he can be an NFL quarterback consistently. Now, that's Justin Fields. As far as Favre, we need an upgrade from what Favre showed us. And that could be Favre getting better, right? Or it can be us looking somewhere else. But that's the first thing is I don't know that getting Justin Fields with what he's shown us for 3 seasons – being a sub 60% completion rate, having won 13 games, I think, in 3 years or something like ridiculous like that. I don't know that he's going to be the upgrade, especially when you have an offensive coordinator that he didn't do well in last year.
I don't know. I can't guarantee he's an upgrade either. And we differ on Fields. I feel like he's worth rolling the dice on, and you disagree. I'm not saying he's I'm just saying the price of entry is so small. Yeah, it's two years, right? We have a 2-year window to see if Justin Fields can do something. And it comes down to this. So like, you know how we deal with like media reports, especially during free agency, especially during negotiation times. Guys are given info by agents, coaches, GMs. Hey, I want this out there. Hey, I want that out there. Hey, yeah. And again, I'm not calling them liars or disingenuous. I genuinely believe that Pelini was told by a source that the Raiders are interested in Justin Fields. I do believe that. I believe he was told that.
Or that now, they had shown interest in.
Now, did the person who said that, was it because they're super, super interested? Or because they kicked the tires, but they want it out there that people are interested, right? So like if, you know, Justin Fields' agent got a text message from Tom Telesco, hey, how's Justin Fields feeling today? Oh, and he immediately goes to the media and says, like, hey, they expressed interest. True, they did, right? Tom Telesco should be every possible available quarterback. You should kind of know the status. That's his job. Even if he's, you know, even if you're very anti Justin Fields coming to the Raiders, Telesco is not doing his job if he doesn't see what's going on, right? Where's the market? How's he doing? Because I firmly believe, like, as Raider fans, we need to follow, even if you don't want Justin Fields on the Raiders, we need to be following Justin Fields because he's probably the first domino to fall. If he stays in Chicago, they're probably going to trade that first overall pick. If he's traded, then we know that they're drafting a quarterback. So he's kind of the first domino to fall in the quarterback carousel that's going to happen this next offseason. So he needs to be followed even if you don't want him.
So we need to be honest with ourselves, okay? Aiden O'Connell last year did not play good enough for us to be a real player in the NFL. He just didn't. Mm-hmm. He was okay. He showed us that he's what we thought he was, an average starter, a really good backup, right? He needs to improve a lot in order for us to be able to win consistently and be up there as one of the better teams in the NFL every single season. He needs to improve a lot.
And the big thing is to say, okay, we're going to stop our quarterback search and roll with Favre. That's two very big things. You can believe in Favre. We believe in Favre. We love Favre.
We were the first ones to be on Favre. And anyone else who wants to say they were before us, we got receipts. We were before anybody else on the Favre train.
Before the draft.
Yeah, but like
we were talking about Favre, right?
We're talking about his ass.
We're all about O'Connell, right? Well, there's a big gap between we love him. I'm glad he's a Raider. Stick with us. Hope he develops and does well. And, oh, he's the man. Let's not worry about developing other quarterbacks. There's a huge gap. Like, it's very, you know, it's possible. Aiden O'Connell could definitely develop and become fantastic and be our guy moving forward and win us playoff games. That's what we're hoping for. That'd be great. Yeah. But he has not shown enough to say we're pushing all our chips in the far of a pot and then leaving nothing else on the other side. And that's what we're talking about. There's a difference
here. Yeah, exactly. And we're on the same page here.
Our comment section has been very full of like, I think Favre can do it. I like Favre a lot. I think he's got a lot of potential. Imagine Favre a season removed from Josh McDaniels' poison. Imagine Favre we are imagining that. That would be great. But
that's a lot of assumption.
That's a lot of hopes and dreams.
Yeah,
that you're putting on a guy that's just hopes and dreams, like. And that's why I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm down to like roll the dice on Fields, roll the dice on O'Connell, and roll the dice on a rookie. Like, let's have three oars in the water as opposed to just like hope O'Connell pans out, right? Like,
yeah,
that's where we should be at in general. Like, yeah, you can be the biggest Favre fan in the world. We still need that's literally one quarterback and a quarterback
more
right now.
We need more.
There's one guy.
Well, even more than that, we need more than what he's shown us he has and the trajectory of where he can be. He needs to make a big jump in order to be one of those guys, to be one of those guys. I did a little research. Okay. You'll like this.
Went in the library? Went out in the studio?
The library on my phone. This is the last five seasons. Okay. So we have 68 starting quarterbacks to start a playoff game, okay? How many of those 68 you think were first-round picks at quarterback?
Okay, so every game? So, like, Purdy?
Not every single game, but, like, the starter for that.
So, Purdy doesn't count as six.
Well, yeah, last year he does.
That's my point. So, like, every game Purdy starts counts as...
No. To the starting quarterback for that season to get him to the playoffs.
Oh, just the starting quarterback of the team that got to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so it's not each playoff game.
No, not each playoff game. 68. So the reason is 5 years ago, that was the last year that was only 12 playoff teams, and the next 4 years were 14. So that turns out to 68.
Okay.
You math majors out there. 45.
I was going to say high 40s.
45 out of the six. So two out of every three quarterbacks the last five seasons to go to the playoffs was a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Now, it's even crazier in the AFC. Three different seasons, every single quarterback who made it to the playoffs in the AFC was a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Not this last season, but the season before, the 22-23 season, the 19-20 and I believe it was 2021. There's three seasons in those five, the last five, where every single quarterback, now it may not be the same team. Like I think in 1920, Philip Rivers was one of the quarterbacks. But he's playing for the Colts, right? But he was still a first-round quarterback. So first-round pick, making it to the playoffs.
In the Lamar last Jackson season, at 32, just like.
Yeah, just like, you know, he was a first-round pick. Two-time MVP. Yeah. So look. Yeah, so 19, 20, and 22 were the 3 years in the AFC. All the quarterbacks were first-round picks. Mm-hmm. In the AFC, the last 5 years, there's been 34, for you math majors, you cut 68 in half, right? 34 quarterbacks to lead a team to the playoffs. 31 of them were first-round picks. Over 90%. So if you want to win in the NFL consistently, you need to get a top quarterback with a top pick. You just need to do it. You need to have a good player at that position. If you're
this idea that Aiden O'Connell is going to be the three of the 34, look, like that would be wonderful. But is that what you're banking it on?
We already have
you're banking it on.
He's already there.
It's a 9% chance.
Look, before Brock Purdy was Tom Brady. Before Tom Brady was Kurt Warner. Like those, there's one like every generation. There's one of those like really super late round picks that ends up being something, right? Yeah. He's already there, so you're banking on.
You want to bank the next three seasons on like a 9% chance?
No, we need to go up and we need to get a quarterback. That's the problem that we've had with this franchise for so many freaking years. Where I don't want it to be that. I really don't. But we thought we had a guy, and it was good enough. He's good enough to get us there. Well, you know what? He's also bad enough to not. And we didn't address the quarterback in the draft for so many freaking years because we thought we had the guy because he was good enough. We can't win with good enough anymore, and the numbers show it, especially in the AFC. You need to have a top quarterback that you use a top pick on who has top flight skills and a top flight talent in order to win in the AFC, and the numbers show it. You have to have that guy. So Justin Fields has shown you absolutely zero that he can be that guy. He hasn't shown you anything. Nothing consistent, at least.
Yeah.
Right? In Chicago. But what is he? You're going to bank on a guy who's a project, but you only have 2 years to develop.
We're not banking. We're not banking. Again,
you're giving a premium draft pick, and you have a short window to make him work. Now, it's great. Yeah, 2 years, $27 million. Yeah, but the second year of that is $24 million. That's a big cap hit for a guy who's, I don't know if he's going to be good. And that's what you're signing up for. So I believe we're better off trading up and getting one of those top three quarterbacks, the one that we want. If you're going to trade up to get a guy, trade up to get the guy that you want. Trade up to get that guy. Because you know for a fact you only have a 9% chance to make the playoffs if you don't have a top flight first round quarterback. The numbers show it.
I want a top flight first round quarterback. And I want it so bad that I don't want to throw all of our chips into one basket and have it not pan out and be stuck without being able to do it again for the next three seasons.
That's what it takes though, man.
No, what it takes is doing value. So if we miss, which is most likely, most first round quarterbacks are misses. You're right. To win, you need a first round quarterback. Absolutely true. Also very true. Most first round quarterbacks are misses. So what I want is multiple bullets in the gun. Let's go for a first round quarterback. I'm saying let's get a first round quarterback this season. But let's make sure we don't blow our load and say we're gonna go for number one or number two or spend all these draft picks. We're to the point where we have nothing left the next three seasons if we miss.
That's what
my strategy is. You go and you get your first rounder. You find the value instead of being like falling in love with this used car. Like you get behind the wheel of a used car, you fall in love with it, and you'll pay whatever. It's I'm not even get behind the wheel. Like you show me the value of each one, and I'll pick the best one. So if we miss, which there's a 50% chance we will, next season, or at worst case scenario, two seasons later, we still have enough draft capital to try again. Because if we throw everything into one, we're fucked for three seasons. If we're wrong, we're fucked for three seasons. If we do it smart and go value, we can try again in two. That's my philosophy.
Yeah.
Value, because quarterback is so important. It is such a valuable position. It's the most important position in sports. We cannot afford to sacrifice three seasons of trying to get it right this second when all of history says it's probably not going to work. You need one, but it's probably not going to work with that one shot that you're taking. Give yourself every 2 years a shot at that franchise Hall of Fame Pro Bowl quarterback that we desperately need.
The issue with that is you know when a guy's going to be a guy pretty quickly in the NFL. You know if a guy's going to be a guy.
Some guys show it right away.
Okay, let's take a look at this last go around for the playoffs in the AFC because we're in the AFC. Mahomes, as soon as he hit the field, when he played, he was the man. Josh Allen, freak shaky first year, but that second year you saw him like this guy's amazing. I think Josh Allen should have won the MVP this year. I can care less about the 18 interceptions. He had freaking 25 more touchdowns than Lamar Jackson, but whatever. you know, Lamar Jackson. As soon as he hit the field, you know, this guy was going to be he was going to be a player, right?
Well, Lamar.
No, as soon as he hit the field,
he was
Justin Fields, but he could complete passes.
He was. We didn't know he was this good immediately.
He was going to be really good. We knew he was good. We knew he was something different. He was something special. This guy's something different. Great, not great, whatever. You knew he was something different. C.J. Stroud, you see him? This guy's something different. He's not just a run-of-the-mill average quarter. He's something. He brings something different, okay? Who else made the playoffs? Joe Flacco made it because of the freaking defense, but he still played really, really well a couple times, but he's maybe the outlier because he's a little bit older. Who else made it? Tua. Tua was flinging the ball like one of the best offenses in the freaking league. It's something different. It's not just a run-of-the-mill old quarterback. It's just you see these guys out there playing, and it looks different. For the most part, it looks different. There's a couple. There's the outliers. Everywhere. You know,
That's why I feel like the 2-year window is perfect. Like you're not investing like 3-4 seasons of draft picks into a guy, but like I'll give you 2 firsts and like 2 seconds.
But the
like,
thing probably, is, like, you have to go for it, man. Have to go for it.
Yes, look, go for
here's
it.
Here's the issue.
And how value. So you can do it again 2 years later.
The quarterback is not about value anymore, dude. Quarterback is about getting the guy that you need to get to be able to win.
No, that's Mayock. That's Mayock Gruden philosophy.
No, that is not Mayock Gruden over. Philosophy. Because Mayock Gruden did that with more of a tackling than coverage safeties. They did that with underproducing corners. They did that with underproducing defensive ends. That was their philosophy with every player ever. It's different when you're talking about quarterback, dude.
It's not different, but the price is different. It's not different. The price is different. The philosophy is the same, but the price is different.
You wouldn't trade up that much. You wouldn't trade up in the first round to get a defensive end.
I'm not going to sacrifice 3 years of trying to find a quarterback on one quarterback when history says you're probably not going to hit.
But here's the problem.
It's a shotgun approach, not a sniper approach.
Yeah, but there's two percentages you need to take a look at. Is you know for a fact if you just go with a middling guy, you have a 9% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Don't go with Favre. don't roll with Favre and nothing
else. You have a 9% chance of going to the playoffs if he's not a first round pick. That's in the AFC with all those good first round quarterbacks. Okay. So you take that and then you take a look at 50-50. 50-50 is a whole lot better than 9%.
Yeah, a first round quarterback.
Yes, but you don't just get a first round quarterback because you draft him in the first round. You get a guy. That's the guy that you're comfortable with using that. You don't just get him because he's there and you have a first round choice. You go up and get him. The Bills moved up twice for God's sake to get Josh Allen.
And it worked great. But for every Josh Allen, like, you know, 2016, Paxton Lynch, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, all first round quarterbacks, right? Like,
brutal. Jared Goff is in the playoffs now.
Goff's in the playoffs. But again, not a guy that like you knew in the second year he was a guy. Like it took him. Out of his rookie deal, traded, new place.
I mean, he went out. To the playoffs his third season. I mean, he went to the Super Bowl his third season.
Would you say it was based on him, right? Like,
he still got him there. He didn't play bad. He played bad in the Super Bowl, but he didn't play. So the thing is, there's this misconception because Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. Nick Foles didn't get them. He didn't win all the games and go through all the playoffs to get him there, okay? So it takes a special player to be able to do that. Not just – anyone can win one game. Okay, it takes a special guy.
I'm going with the hitting percentages at first round quarterbacks, right? 2017, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Mitch Trubisky. Trubisky was the second overall, right? He was the best. So two of the three.
Okay.
2018, Lamar Jackson, massive hit. Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, massive hit. Sam Darnold, no. Yeah. Baker Mayfield, first overall. Like he was the no brainer first overall. He took a while. Right, like he had a good year this season. Again, change of scenery, had a good Wolfie season.
Finally, he got hurt. He got hurt. Shoulder was hurt.
Again, I'm saying like all the criteria we're looking for. Some guys come later. Some guys never come at all. I'm just saying the hit percentage. Right, you're like load up, get your guy. The hit percentage isn't good. And I'm not saying
if you don't get your guy, the hit percentage is even less. is what I'm saying.
You don't load up on your guy. You load up on value. Because, like, again, you look at, like,
quarterback position, man. Because the quarterback position is so much more important. It's so much more important than just a regular old position. You have to look at that position different. There's a reason why.
The philosophy's the same. The price is higher, but the philosophy's the same. You're not trading up for a right guard, right? But the process is still the same. You're still like, oh, like, I really like this right guard. We really need a right guard. You know, let's wait till second round because it's a right guard, right?
Yeah.
Quarterback. We need a quarterback. Quarterbacks are the most expensive item that exists in sports. So the price goes up exponentially. So, but the theory is still the same. Again, you go to like 2018. Would you rather have had the first overall Baker Mayfield or the 32nd overall Lamar Jackson? It was unanimous. Baker was the guy, right? But it was really expensive.
It was unanimous, but it was still a controversial pick. But I mean, Sam Darnold went.
He was over two later, right? Like he went three, right? So it's like
three, yeah, that's right.
I think that's more my point. Right, like I'm with you. It's gonna cost. It's super important.
Look,
we gotta do our due diligence. We gotta do our math.
Exactly.
But the possibility of missing is huge. It's much bigger than I think most fans realize. And if you
don't, is even bigger.
Which is why you leave bullets in the gun to try two seasons later. Give this guy like. Trade up to a point where you can still try again in two seasons if you miss, because it's a really, really, really good chance we're going to miss. History has made it abundantly clear. There's a really good chance you're going to miss with the first round quarterback. So give yourself enough ammo to try again in two seasons and don't bury yourself for something you're probably going to miss.
Three.
Right.
But look, the issue that I'm falling into is, I'm not saying to move up just because it's a new draft and there's players available, right? Like you said, you have to do your work. You've already scouted the free agents out there. You've scouted the quarterbacks on your current team. You've scouted the quarterbacks coming out this year. You've scouted the quarterbacks coming out next year. If it's worth it for you and you think that you're comfortable with making that big of an investment on this one player because he can be that game changer for you, and you know that you need a player like this guy to be, because, like, dude, everyone wants to be the exception, okay? Like, what was it, Kevin Samuels? That guy's freaking hilarious. You know who that is? He's dead now. He actually died fucking. Some chick was fucking him, and he died. Anyway,
way to go, I guess.
So he's like a real, like distinguished, really well-dressed black dude. He's puts the chicks in check. Like when they want, like they're 38 with three kids and they're 50 pounds overweight and they want a high value man. Like he puts them in check, right? So he says, you women, all think you're going to be the exception. Well, there's somebody out there. There's a high value man out there for me, but you're not bringing high value yourself. If you're not bringing that high value, you're probably not going to get that high value player. So you got to put the value in to get that player out. And we're at 13 right now. We're in the position to be able to do it. If you're comfortable that this guy is the high value guy that you want, because you've done the scouting on who's available, who's coming out next year, who you have, who you can get, who you can sign, all those things are out there and all signs point and funnel down to this guy, you make it happen. I'm not saying you trade the entire world, but I mean, it's going to take three ones and maybe like a third or a fourth, something like that. It's going to take that. To move
all 32 teams do their work, do their research, are comfortable with it, had scouts working around the clock, and they're comfortable with their picks. And still, the batting average is below 500 for first round quarterback.
I get it, but that's it. If you're gonna give me that, I'm gonna give you. If you don't have one of those guys, your chances of making the playoffs are less than 10% in the AFC.
So go with the value guys and make sure you still have ammo in two seasons. If they're with that 50% chance, you're going to miss.
Why would you spend a pick on a guy that you're not comfortable with, that you don't think is going to be is the guy that you want?
Because whether you're comfortable with him or not in a first round quarterback, you're going to miss half the time. It's a fact. History has proven it.
But RJ, you have to try to win.
Yeah, try to win. Get a first round quarterback.
But the thing is, you're not going to be if it's not the guy that you're comfortable with. Yeah, it has to be the guy that you're comfortable with. It has to be the guy that you feel. Because look, whether you're spending a top 10 pick or in the 20s, it's still a first-round pick. It's still a really valuable pick for you. So if you don't just pick a guy because you're picking at 13, and, oh, J.J. McCarthy's available, I'm just going to grab him. No, if he's not the guy that you want, go for the guy that you want.
No, you do the math. This is what I'm talking about.
Your math, does not compute to my math. Because it's 50-50, and I'm telling you, 91-9. If you don't have a first-round guy, it's 91-9. But so why would you just pick a guy?
For the 100th time, I want a first-rounder. I'm willing to trade up for a first-rounder. But you're saying, like,
first-rounder.
Fall in love with, like, find your guy.
Yes.
32 teams every year say they have their guy. Less than half the time does it work. Give yourself a chance to try again in two seasons. That's what I'm saying.
The math doesn't work out when it's for quarterback, dude. It's a different ball.
It's the exact same philosophy. It's not
the exact same because the price is higher. It means so much more. And of course the price is higher because it's more valuable.
2018. Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, right?
2019.
Dwayne Haskins, Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray. 2020. Jordan Love, Justin Herbert, Tua, Joe Burrow. Great class. 2021, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence. 2022, it was just Kenny Pickett. 2023, Anthony Richardson, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young. You're going to miss. There's going to be big misses. And yes, get a first rounder. Do it. So
What would you trade to go up into the? What would you trade?
Ooh, for what? A third? We're probably looking at.
If you're going to trade up, go up to fucking number one. Go get. Don't leave it to chance. If you're going to move up, don't leave it to chance. Because if you move up to number two, like, what if the Bears pick the guy you want?
Again, it's all about value in the moment. That's the true skill of a GM and a drafter. It's not, I want this guy, I'll do whatever. I've done the math.
Do you trust Tom Telesco?
I've done the scouting. I don't trust anyone on planet Earth to say, I've got the guy and I know he's going to work out. Nobody, because no one can. No one can do that. What I trust is a guy that knows what's happening. He knows, oh man, the Patriots are desperate. They're going to throw everything at Caleb Williams. Like they're going to throw, okay, so I'm going to let them do that and change the market. And then I'm going to make my move for Anthony Richardson because I know, the Panthers, like whatever, right? Like that's what I trust is someone who knows what's happening in real time because it has been proven time and time again that nobody knows which first round quarterbacks are going to pan out and which ones are. It's 50-50, generally less than 500 throughout the course of history. Like the math is there. The history is there. The guys that figure it out, the GMs that win are the ones that say, wow, Anthony Richardson, this great quarterback fell to 7 and I'm at 13. Let's make a move. Let's go. Let's move in real time. It's only going to cost us 2 first rounders. We thought it would cost us 3. That's what I want. That's what I need. That's what a really skillful drafting GM does. Not falling in love with the guy. Like no franchise ever has figured it out. No franchise ever will figure it out. There's too many moving parts. Like, are you coming to a good team? Are you coming to a good offensive coordinator? Are you going to a place with like a whore that you're going to fall in love with and develop a coke habit? Like there's too many variables. There's way too many variables. The only thing you can control is what you spend to get them. And you still do the math. Like, yeah, I'm with Caleb Williams is the on paper, the best quarterback out there. And he's going to go for the most, right? Like you still do that math, right? Like, Bo Nix might be a first round quarterback, not the same as Caleb Williams. Get it. 100. That is without question, but you do the math to it because you're probably going to miss. You're probably going to miss. You're going to have to try again, either next season or 2 seasons or 3 or more. And you want to make sure that you can try again as soon as possible because you're more likely to miss than hit.
I just don't see how this exercise makes much sense if you're taking somebody or you're reaching, not even reaching, but you're moving around the draft board for someone that you're just okay with.
You move around the draft. What you do is you put a value on each quarterback in the draft, right? So you're like, all right, Caleb Williams, we are willing to spend 2 firsts, 2 seconds, whatever you decide he is, right? Drake May, we think he specifically is worth 2 firsts, a 2nd, and a 3rd. Jaden Daniels, we think he is specifically is worth 2 firsts and a 4th, or like whatever, right? You put your value on each guy. And then you see how the board moves. And you, as a skillful, seasoned veteran GM that Tom Telesco is, with a good eye for quarterbacks, you go in real time through that. That's the way to attack it. How is everybody moving? How can I find value in that moment? It's stocks. It's dealing with the stock market, right? Like, you know, I found out Apple's coming out with, you know, the iPhone 18 before everyone else. I'm going to buy stock right now in Apple. And then we go, right? Like, Chevron's getting hit with a giant fine from the feds. I better sell my, I know that before anybody, I sell my stock and move out. It's you're still doing the math. You're still scouting guys and you're putting value on each. Maybe the market for Caleb Williams isn't what we think. Maybe it's not at all what we think. And we can get Caleb for 2 firsts and 2 seconds or something, right? Or whatever, right? Like, oh, wow. Like, it's not going for what we thought he would go for. Let's make our move. Let's move into number one, because we put him at, you know, 2 firsts and 2 2s, and we can get him for 2 firsts, a 2nd, and a 3rd or whatever, right? Like, you put the value on the guys and you read the market as you go. You put yourself in a position to maximize the moment, knowing full well there's a 50% chance or more you're going to miss, so you can try again next season or 2 seasons down.
I don't think
we're that far apart off, Soto. I think we're willing to make the move. It's just I just know I'm a history major. It's been my curse, right? I'm always looking in the past. There's a 50% chance that first round pick's gonna miss. And I'd rather not sacrifice 3 or 4 seasons with that. Let's do 2. Let's give a guy 2 seasons. Let's give a guy you know, there's always the Baker Mayfields who do better elsewhere, and you know, guys get better. What fucking Rich Gannon wasn't a Pro Bowler until he was in his mid-30s with us. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. But like 2 seasons, that's a pretty good shot to say, like, hey, you have something, this is your guy or not, right? Like, yeah, like I think
that's why I'm not big on Justin Fields, because you've seen in 3 seasons, he doesn't have the skill set to consistently get it done.
In Chicago, it didn't work at all. I 2 seasons at 27 mil, I think is a pretty good deal to see.
It's not. You keep saying that, and it's not like it's 2 seasons at 27 mil. Like it's 13.5. It's like 2 and change.
It's three.
That's a big deal on that second year. That's a big deal, especially when he's riding the pine behind Aiden O'Connell. $22-25 million. That's where for me it's not worth it. Because look, honestly, I will tell you one thing, and I will admit to something right now. Where the whole Derek Carr thing has poisoned me is the whole, like, we were freaking, this whole franchise was like, you talk about history, right? We were Sisyphus. That's who we were. We're pushing the big boulder up the hill and have it walk. We were rolling with the same dude over and over again, who's showing us he's good at times and not good at others, and just can't get over the hump because of this, because of that, because of the Illuminati, because of the water boy. It's always another reason why. But he couldn't get it done. In the moments, it was just not there. And we were just every single year over and over again pushing that rock up that hill, thinking it's going to be different, and it's the same. He goes somewhere else, and it's the same shit. So it's like, I don't want to be stuck in that position again where he's good enough. He's not.
No one does. That's why I want to make sure.
That's kind of like what we're doing if we're just okay with, okay, I'm going to go with any one of these 4 quarterbacks. I'm fine. I'm okay with getting the 5th quarterback in this draft.
No one's saying go with whatever and we're fine. It's extrapolating value getting the best you can, squeezing the best you can out of this draft while still giving yourself a chance to try again in 2 years. Because you're right. The quarterback position is way too valuable. It's way too important to not give ourselves a chance to try again if and when we will most likely miss. This is the facts.
Well, no,
we will most likely miss on a first quarterback.
50-50. That's not most likely. And by the numbers you gave, it was more than 50-50.
Since the exact stats, I did it last show when it was since the 2000 draft, and it was below 50% on like a real
dude,
hit. Like,
so freaking long ago, dude. That's why I only went back 5 years. Like,
okay, so 5 years, it wasn't that far off. That's, you know, it's 50-50-ish 5 years, right? Like 20, like the more data, the better the discussion, but there is value in being
like different. More recently. The game's different. The rules are different. I think with the scouting is a little bit different now. The offenses are different. It's different. It's not the same. Because a lot of these quarterbacks that are being drafted now would not even be quarterbacks in 2000.
Sure. And that's why we did both, right? We just did a 5 year and we did a 20 year because there's value in both elements of data, right? I will not ever ignore that it's like a 50-50 shot at first round, and because it's so important to do it. And you know, with Derek Carr, we both like,
we said the same as we're not that far off on the draft thing. We weren't that far off on Derek Carr. There's a little bit that we were, you know,
we were 85% same on Carr. Like, but it all came, like, the biggest difference was I said, all right, like, I'm down to improve from, hell yeah, like, let's get a better quarterback than Derek Carr. Sign me the hell
and
up.
Now we have the chance.
Who's that guy? Who is that guy? Well, let's give ourselves a bunch of shots at it. Let's give ourselves the best, like, you know, you're at a blackjack table, right? Like, if it's 50-50, like, do I want to spend like three bets on one hand and hope I hit, or spread it out and like keep trying to make it hit, you know, like that, like, it's that philosophy. And the Carr thing specifically, like, yeah, well, okay, there's a couple things, right? It was the worst defense the NFL had in a decade that Carr played under. And also, we never developed anyone under him, never even tried. Never even like and remotely made an effort. That was a.
And there's other things going involved. Is it like, you know, there's talk of him being a little bit more on the fragile side and not wanting competition, and the getting the best out of him is something different. And
fuck that. You bring whoever you want.
You and I feel that way. But the people that had him in the building who were tied, whose money in their bank account is tied to his performance, they have to make sure they get the best out of him. And that's where that went screwy. And you know, I don't want to make it I don't want to make it a thing about him, but I don't want to be put in that position again with Aiden O'Connell, because he's good enough.
We and I don't want good enough. Zero argument.
I don't want good enough anymore.
Zero we, argument. We, this
we did
side
that
of the
for
field.
A decade. We did that for a decade with the guy, and we I don't want to do that again.
We're on the same boat. We're on the same boat. Like, we both got to make a swing. I'm just saying, make sure we can keep swinging if we strike out, because there's a really, really, really good chance we strike out. We have all offseason to have this conversation. How far is the draft's actually not that far, dude. It's like
really?
6 weeks away.
It's next week.
Yeah. Like, it's only like 6 weeks away. I keep pretending like, oh, we have so much time to talk about this. Like,
no, it's more than 6 weeks away.
The draft?
The draft is late April, no?
7 weeks? 8 weeks?
Yeah, I think it's a couple coming months up. Away. I think this tomorrow would be like 2 months.
I want to get to this Jimmy Garoppolo story. It's kind of old, but
yeah, like, it's such a great story.
It tingles. It tingles. I get a bluish hue in my plums talking about this Jimmy Garoppolo story. Normally, I'm not one to shit on a guy in his career, and he's getting busted, and it's kind of embarrassing, and he's going to lose some money, but. Raiders Jimmy Garoppolo is being suspended 2 games for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing substances policy, league sources tell ESPN. This is Adam Schefter tweeting. The policy is related to him using a prescribed medication without having a therapeutic use exemption per sources. Jimmy Garoppolo will not appeal, et cetera, et cetera. So the best part about this is, according to SpotTrack, Jimmy Garoppolo ended 2024 with a fully guaranteed $11.25 million salary and an $11.25 million roster bonus due on March 17th. Remember, the geniuses at the Raiders gave him $33 million guaranteed. But wait, there's more. His two-game suspension almost certainly voids these guarantees. It does certainly void these guarantees, allowing the Raiders to release him with just $17 million dead cap, freeing up $10 million in 2024 alone. So he came in, fleeced the Raiders, played like shit, got hurt multiple times, was supposed to take $33 million, but he couldn't piss clean, and now just freed up eight figures for the Raiders.
So sweet.
I didn't like this story was not going to end well for anybody, but it did have a little bit of a happy ending.
For us.
Jimmy G, pun intended.
So good. I need to know what he was on. I need to know what drug cost him $22 million over the next 2 years.
And gave us a fatty bit of cap space. Like the cap's supposed to be like maybe $250 million this season. Like having a quarterback, guaranteed quarterback contract, a chunk of it annulled is so big. Like we're looking at like a Pro Bowler.
No, so everything falls off. No, it's voided. His contract's voided.
No,
sure.
No, not the whole thing. Not the whole thing.
Checking.
So this is my understanding of therapeutic use exemption. It could be a couple things. It could be as simple as he got a genuine prescription from a genuine doctor because he had some kind of irritable bowel syndrome, whatever. And they gave him a prescription that had this diuretic in it or a steroid in it or a whatever. And it was, just a genuine misunderstanding. That's a very real possibility. But Jimmy Garoppolo has tens of millions of dollars in the bank. He has a doctor that is very much on point because he can afford the best. He has Raiders doctors. He has NFL doctors. He has nutritionists. He has all kinds of resources at his fingertips. If he did not disclose a medication, an antibiotic, a prescription, or whatever, that was on purpose.
Yeah.
It was on purpose if he didn't disclose something. This tells me he was probably on something. It was a therapeutic use. Like, I can get testosterone. I can get steroids from my doctor right now, easily. And it still falls under what Schefter pointed out as he had a prescription from a doctor that he didn't disclose. So it's a wide swath, right? He could be full on steroids trying to cheat and he got busted. Or it could be very, very innocent. I was taking a medication for a cough that I had and it had something in it. Now I'm suspended two games. It could be that entire swath. I think because he's such a highly paid, highly attuned, very filthy rich athlete with a lot of resources, you probably didn't want the NFL to know what he was taking. Probably one of those things.
Yeah. So it's 11.25 million in guaranteed salary plus about that amount in a roster bonus. Mm-hmm. So it's $22 million.
Well, going to Sport Track, there's still $17 million in dead cap.
Yeah.
So I think the cash is gone, but the cap still hits, which is all we care about, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Mark Davis has $10 million less, whatever, right? But the cap hit's still there. Ugh. But man.
Good for
him. I mean, for all that, and it's hard for me. Like, I generally don't want to, crap on a guy for having, money taken away and, being embarrassed and stuff. But when you're that good looking and that rich and you're not that good at quarterback, like who feels bad for Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, how can you feel bad for that guy? He's like, oh, instead of having 60 mil in the bank, I only have 50. Instead of that four-way of playmates that I was going to have tonight. Yeah, I'm still going to have that four-way with playmates.
It's still happening.
Yeah, life is still the same. I don't feel bad for Jimmy G.
Not at all.
You think he retires after this?
I don't think he's going to get he's not going to, because his value after being released is as a backup quarterback that can help a younger quarterback. You can't really do that if you can't play the first couple of weeks because you can't be around the team.
I think, look, there was, what, 66 quarterbacks that started in the NFL this season? Jimmy Garoppolo is better than a chunk of those. I think if he wants to be on a team, he can. But the other part of this is, did you read this Albert Breer stuff on him? Garoppolo had a reputation for being aloof in San Francisco, which would drive detail-oriented coach Kyle Shanahan nuts, particularly when at points of the offseason, the Niners would have trouble getting a hold of him. Some of these problems carried over to Vegas, where a group that knew him, led by GM Dave Ziegler and coach Josh McDaniels, had hoped he'd grown out of some of these tendencies. That's the other part. Like, if you're always hurt and you're kind of like meh in the room. I also love this idea that, like, Josh McDaniels hoped he'd grown out of some of his tendencies. Yeah, Josh, we kind of hoped you grew out of some of your tendencies too. We kind of hope you learned how to talk to human beings.
I've ever heard in my
and
life.
Not be a robot. Yeah, Josh, I get it. I get it, JMD. You're not the only one that wish someone on the Raiders had grown out of their negative tendencies.
God, what a freaking moron. What an idiot. What a goddamn fucking idiot. Dude, or it's like, yeah, you know, fucking Chandler Jones. We know you're a crazy fucking stir-fried turd, fucking bat turds. Like, but
here's Pro Bowl money.
Let's hope you're over it. Oh, God.
Ready to some water windbags?
Yeah, dude, I don't want to get this fucking taste out of my mouth.
Dub 9 Raider, new studio? ? So, great question. I've been teasing and promising a new studio forever. It's done. The problem is, I don't know how to work any of the shit in there. My partner, Jared, he is in there during the day, and we record at night. And so there hasn't been a time where we can go in there with someone who can do a show and also knows how to work everything. So I promise
you, bro, it's just a lot. It's a lot. Different from what we're doing now.
Yeah. Like I'm telling you, dude, it's three FX30s, lighting, audio. There's a switcher, there's a producer room. Like, it's tits, but I still got to figure out how to work it before we can do it. So it's there. We appreciate you people who have been contributing money to help us get there. It went to a good cause, I promise. Like, we have yet to sign each other checks for anything. It's all been going back into the show. It will be done, I promise. My dumbass just has to learn how to do it.
I think I might have a guy that can do it. He actually went to school for, like, video production and stuff like that.
I already know we can't afford him.
No, but he doesn't do it. He grows weed, like legitimately grows weed. That's what he does.
Just self-made man.
Yeah,
my kind of guy. I mean,
he might be able to do it. You might be able to do it from what we can offer him.
R8RSN8K. I'm not even gonna try. A full season with an improved AOC will get us 10 wins. No rookie quarterback at 13 is going to do that. Look, this is the thing. Maybe. Sure. Like, that's if this defense is still this season what the defense ended last season, you might be right. But do you want to push all of your chips into that giant maybe? No.
Look.
No.
We need more. What's up, buddy?
Is that Apollo?
Yeah, it's Apollo right there.
Fast hands. Like,
yeah, dude, this guy was freaking beast. So I think that the defense showed up consistently against a wide range of opponents who offered a wide range of problems last season for enough time to show that it's not a fluke. That's what I think about the defense. I've also seen that what Aiden O'Connell showed us, we need much more than what he's shown us. Even if you go through a trajectory of improvement, that whole the key to this sentence is improved. He can't just be a little bit better. He can't just be a natural progression from year one to year two. He needs to make a significant jump from year one to year two that we haven't seen in quite some time. Like, he's going to have a Josh Allen type jump in play and production from year one to year two in order for us to say, okay, this guy can be the guy to get us 10 wins. He's just not that guy. Because
the same thing like with Antonio Pierce, right? Like, the whole question was like, well, I think AP earned it. Like, that's not the question. No. The question isn't did AP earn it or not. It's who's the best available coach for the Raiders right this second. And it was AP, right?
It was AP.
But the question isn't yes or no AP. It's who's the best available for us right now. Same thing at quarterback. What's the best option for this team at quarterback? Not did Aiden, does he deserve it or not? It's irrelevant. Like, the Raiders are bigger than him. It's not did he earn it or not. Like, it's what's the best option? What's the best course of action to give us the best chance to give us the best quarterback? And sitting on our hands and hoping that Aiden O'Connell becomes 10 times better than he was, it's not smart. And this is the thing. Let's say that happens. Let's say
cool, he's already in the building.
Great, he's already here.
Like, he's here already.
What did we lose drafting a guy or picking up Fields or Baker or whatever? Like, we didn't, like, if he's the guy, we got him. Great. Like, wonderful. Like, we don't, like, still try for everyone else.
What Aiden O'Connell earned, what he deserves, is exactly what he's getting. And it's exactly what AP said. He earned a chance to compete for the job next year. That's all he earned.
He's not going anywhere. So keep building the room.
He's done it before, man. He went in from the number 8 walk-on quarterback to 2-time freaking, I guess it was a second team Big Ten.
Yeah.
But, dude, man, that's a big jump.
Harv Castrajon 9090. I feel that Antonio Pierce is laying the grounds for a top 3 trade in the draft. He seems desperate. Other teams will take advantage of that and ask for a haul. Think about it.
No.
Does it feel like he's laying the grounds for a top three trade?
No, nothing that I've heard him say specifically tells me that. Now, a lot of these clickbait typey articles and stuff like that are telling you that, oh, yeah, the sources tell me they're going to move up and that this is their guy and this is how this person's connected to this player. This is how this guy's connected to this player. But honestly, I don't see someone as seasoned as Telesco, who's built the relationships that he's built, like you said, showing up desperate and being fleeced on something. Mm-hmm. If the player doesn't work out, okay, whatever, you get fleeced that way, but don't get fleeced on the deal.
It's not like AP is the one that makes that decision anyway, right? It's Telesco, who's seasoned veteran in this thing. And I'm with you. I haven't seen anything from Antonio Pierce that makes me think he's zeroing in on a top 3 trade. Everything I've seen from him says he's wide open to everything. Like you said, like, O'Connell might be the guy. There's great veterans out there. We're going to be aggressive in the draft. I feel like he's purposefully, like, not holding his cards to his vest, but like throwing out fake cards everywhere. Like, I think AP gets that part of the game where it's just throw misinformation in every direction and see like where it lands. You know what I mean? He's like Michael Scott in The Office when he accidentally spread that rumor he wasn't supposed to. And so we started spreading all these false rumors to try to like swallow the true rumor that he accidentally spread. I feel like that's more AP because he's kind of just like, yeah, this will work. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, there's a bunch of great free agents out there. Yeah, dude, Farva's the man. You know, there's a good guys in the draft. Oh, Jaden Daniels was at our last game. I had no idea. Like, he's just like planting all these seeds everywhere, just like pew, 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 misinformation. Pew, 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 pew. God, I fucking love him,
bro.
Don't get mad at me, coach.
Don't get mad at me, okay?
No promise.
But I did some research on like the top maybe 5 or 6 offensive tackles, and I wouldn't be mad if we picked one up at 13 because they're freaking good, dude. They would automatically boost our overall offense, like any one of those top 5 dudes, they're really good.
The one thing from AP that he can't hide,
he wants to run the ball,
is that he wants to be like a defense, a run the ball
bully. He wants to be a bully on both sides of the ball.
That part he can't hide. Those cards he's like showing. He's just like, yeah, that's, That's what I want.
There's the dude from.
Would it be a guy that moves Colton to the right, or would it be a right tackle?
No, it would be a right tackle. It would probably be it would move probably Thayer Munford into guard. That's what it would do. And there's a lot of good.
And then Harum to center, and then we're just kind of a left guard away from.
Look, I'm telling you something right now. There's a couple guys. There's a couple centers out there. There's that center from Oregon who's just freaking amazing, right? But there's this guy from Arkansas, Bo Limmer. That dude is a beast. That fool was like the strongest lineman at like the Senior Bowl. He's just like by far the strongest dude.
Edge pressing Toyota.
He's like a freaking rock. And you can see him on the field, and it translates to the – it's not just weight, it's functional strength, right? And there's a lot of
– beach muscle like me.
Dude, we can get guys like what's his name, Layden Robinson from like Texas A&M. Like he's a guy that can be available in like the fourth or fifth round. And he's really good. There's a lot of good offensive linemen in this draft. I mean, Michigan has like four offensive linemen that are going to get drafted this year. They have many seniors on the team. Yeah,
this draft is sneaking up on us.
There's a lot of good offensive linemen.
I'll probably start doing some draft stuff.
Yeah, sorry guys. Last year I did mock drafts. I did more stuff, but this last weekend it was in Oakland, and this next weekend I'm going to go to Orlando. So I'm not going to have time to do it. But just trust me, I'm watching the film, and there's a lot of good offensive linemen. So I wouldn't be mad if we take a guy, we can fill these holes and have like a top offensive line this season. Because especially interior guys, they've shown that if they can play and they hit right away. These guys aren't like tackles, they can take some time to develop. But the interior guys, they're plug and play, ready to rock.
Yeah. So we'll start taking a look at the drafts quickly because it's more around the corner than I thought. Not around the corner, but it's more around the corner than I thought. It's around less corners.
Up your butt and around the corner. It's 9 weeks away from tomorrow or today if you're watching it today.
So we'll start doing that. Also, we didn't even get to Josh Jacobs, but the franchise tag era is happening. Probably won't. We're probably going to have to be saying goodbye to Josh Jacobs. We've got to talk about that forward. The quarterback situation.
That's $11 million.
Right.
That's Josh Jacobs right there.
Yeah. Still a whole lot. It's the Raiders. The offseason is never boring. We'll cover every last square inch of it. But until then, knock on wood if you're with me.